De Gruselier v. Indianapolis, Mr. Langdon.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I am David Langdon, here today on behalf of the appellant Toby De Gruselier, the pastor-trustee of the Baptist Church of the West Side in Indianapolis. I'd like to focus on 2 points from our briefs in my argument today. First, the church is a religious assembly within the meaning of Section B1 of our LUPA. And second, the city is strictly liable for a violation of that section of RLUIPA. Before I address these 2 points, I'd like to briefly discuss a few of the facts to provide some context for why we're here today. Since July of 2005, the church has been meeting at its property in Indianapolis, where it regularly assembles for corporate worship and other church-related functions. In February of 2006, the church received a letter from the city notifying the church that they were in violation of the city's zoning code because churches are not a permitted use in the C1 district where the property is located. The letter threatened the church with various administrative and civil penalties and fines. Now, the church responded to that letter, noting in its letter to the city that assembly halls are in fact permitted uses in the C1 district, and further identifying the church as, quote, a group of people who believe in the lordship of Jesus Christ and choose to assemble for corporate worship. The pastor then met with city zoning officials, reiterating this objection, asking for clarification. The zoning officials indicated that they would confer with city attorneys and get back to him. About a month later, the city did get back to Pastor De Gruselier, and ultimately the city maintained its position that the church was in violation of the zoning code, and that unless they obtained a variance from the city, they would no longer be permitted to operate as a church in the C1 district. The church then filed this lawsuit. The district court denied the church's motion for a preliminary injunction, seeking an order enjoining the enforcement of the city zoning code against the church, and the church then brought this appeal. Now, to prove a violation of Section B1 of RLUIPA, the church must demonstrate that it is a religious assembly, that it is subject to a land use regulation.
This district that it wants to be, this is C1, right, that wants to be in?
Yes, Your Honor.
So liquor, is no liquor stores permitted there, or just within range of a church?
Well, Your Honor, in the C1 district,
the city and ordinance and state law.
If you look at the section of the city zoning code for C1 district, this is an office commercial buffer zone intended to be a transition between residential and heavy commercial. And if you look at the permitted uses identified in this C1 zone, nowhere is mentioned any type of business that might have a liquor permit, for example, a liquor store, a grocery store, a gasoline station, a convenience store, a restaurant, and so forth. None of those are permitted uses in this C1 district. You have to get into the heavier commercial, the C3 and up, where you then find specifically permitted uses such as grocery stores, bars, taverns, and so forth.
You're suggesting C1 doesn't permit mm-hmm. liquor, good, just because it doesn't enumerate. Okay. But now there's a state law. What is the state law about liquor and pornography?
There is a state law that says that if a church locates that no liquor-licensed establishment can locate within 200 feet of that particular church, or if the church locates there after the liquor licensed permitted establishment is already there, it displaces them. In other words, they can't have their liquor permit renewed.
Can a church waive that prohibition?
With respect to certain provisions, but not with respect to all of them.
With respect to the liquor and pornography?
Well, I think as it relates to, for example, grocery stores and certain types of liquor permits, the church can waive, but it can't waive other types of liquor permits for taverns or for liquor stores and so forth.
Is there any other, well, what about liquor stores or pornography stores next to schools? Is that also forbidden?
That the state law also forbids that as well, Your Honor.
Is there anything else that it can't be near, that these stores can't be near?
Well, actually, the city imposes a number of additional requirements of its own, some buffer requirements in various in the districts, again, the heavier commercial districts where liquor permit establishments are permitted to go, the city has its own buffer version, and I don't think it's quite as much. I think it's 100 feet as opposed to 200 feet. But again, that's not applicable. None of it is applicable in the C1 district because liquor permitted establishments aren't permitted there.
You couldn't have a grocery store in C1?
Not according to the city zoning code, section 732.201.
What if, well, of course, you can always ask for a variance, right?
Correct.
So isn't it possible there are liquor stores in C1?
The record doesn't show in this particular C1 district whether there are or aren't, but it's conceivable, certainly, that a liquor-permitted establishment could obtain a variance from the city.
If they'd granted a variance and then a church moved in within 200 feet, would the liquor store have to move?
I don't know if they would have to move, but they wouldn't be eligible to have their... I don't believe so. I think they lose their ability to get their liquor permit renewed if a church locates after the fact.
So is the city's concern that if your church comes into C1 and if they have variances, they've granted variance and they have pornography store, you know, liquor stores, a whole lively strip there, that if the church were within... Well, the church is there, of course. The church has its property. So don't you know whether within 200 feet there's a liquor store or an adult bookstore?
The record doesn't reflect that, Your Honor. This is a stipulated record. There isn't
That's
any.
That's very strange, because if there isn't anything within 200 feet, then that concern of the city would evaporate, wouldn't it?
And, of course, that's the reason that I assumed that that's why you didn't sue the state of Indiana, because there wasn't a liquor store in that area, you know, so you didn't attack the Indiana statute.
Well, Your Honor,
you're saying you don't know one way or the other in terms of what's located in the C1 district.
We're saying that it's not a concern, because there are no liquor-permitted establishments
First you say there's no liquor-permitted establishment, then you say you don't know, right? Because there can be variances. Haven't you ever been to this church?
Pardon?
Have you ever been there?
I've not worshipped there, but I've been there, yes.
How many of you have been there?
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, are there liquor stores within 200 feet?
We didn't check that.
God, no. I mean, it seems... As I said, maybe this city has additional concerns, but... They did stress the liquor porn issue.
I know my time is concluded.
You want to? Well, you have time to rebut.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Lyon. So, Mr. Treen?
May it please the Court, I'm Eric Treen, counsel for Amicus United States of America. Congress, in enacting Section 2...
You don't know about this factual question,
well,
do you?
Actually, in the reply brief in the district court, which we cite in our amicus brief, plaintiff did say that there was no liquor establishment within 200 feet. And I don't know specifically where in the stipulation that might be, but it was in the plaintiff's brief to the district court. On the liquor issue, I'll jump right into that because I think that is of concern to your honors. Two issues. One is our LUPA focuses on religious assemblies and says that there's a floor provided by the law that a religious assembly must be treated equally to a non-religious assembly. Now, the city and their zoning code may give additional benefits to a church to allow it to have a parsonage. And the state may put, or the city may put, zoning restrictions regarding liquor and pornography on churches, but they must treat a religious assembly the same as a secular assembly. Now, it may turn out to be a definitional question under city law or under state law. Well, is a liquor establishment that's near a religious assembly that's located in a commercial district, is that a church? It may very well not be a church under Indiana law. Here you have a small storefront kind of church, 50 or so worshipers, who've decided to congregate on the same terms as a secular assembly. And it's not immediately clear to me that that is, in fact, a church under the Indianapolis zoning code. In fact, it probably isn't under Indianapolis zoning code, and under state law very well may not be a church. If it were found to be a church eventually, ultimately, our LUPA is a federal civil rights law that requires this floor of equal treatment between religious assemblies and non-religious assemblies, and there the state law would have to yield. I would add, Your Honors, that this reading is consonant with the terms of our LUPA, as well as the congressional intent. The record is clear that the sponsors were concerned about the fact that churches, especially smaller upstart churches, were being barred from areas of cities and towns where secular assemblies were permitted as of right, and that this was a problem that needed a remedy. There are two principal errors of the court below. The first was saying that the constitutional standard for equal protection was identical to the RLUPA standard. This court specifically rejected that argument in the Vision Church v. Longgrove case, said the question is not whether you're similarly situated, which would be the test under equal protection. Rather, Congress, using its power under Section 5 of the 14th Amendment, created a remedy using specific terms of saying a religious assembly must be treated equally to a non-religious assembly, a clear rule that would be easy to apply. And applying that here, it's plain that this group of individuals that wants to form for worship and meet in a group of 50 or so people in a commercial district must be given the same opportunity to do so as would a secular assembly, a Mason Lodge or a club or other kind of assembly hall.
Does it matter that the city says that there are loads of other places where the church, if we call it a church, whatever you want to call it, could locate without a permit?
Well, it could locate in the SU1 district. There's some vacant lots that are zoned where they could go as of right. But again, Congress was concerned with what do you do with small churches that maybe can't afford $3 million to develop a traditional church on a vacant piece of property. So that's...
What is SU1?
SU1 is the special religious church zone that they have.
Are there church zones?
Yes, there are, Your Honor. For pre-existing churches, and there are some parcels.
Is there anything in the record about real estate prices in those areas?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. But I would say that what our LUPA focuses on is no government shall impose a land use regulation that treats a religious assembly on less than equal terms with a non-religious assembly or institution. It doesn't look to the zoning code writ large. It looks to how is a particular religious assembly being treated in a zone as opposed to a non-religious assembly.
This is just a discrimination case. It's not an undue burden.
It is not an undue burden case. It's strictly there's discrimination going here. Congress created a black letter rule barring discrimination, and that's what the
Mr.
district court erred in finding.
Must this be connected with the ownership of a physical site? For example, if this group of 30 to 50 worshipers were all employed at a light industry and use their lunch hour for assembly, how would that be impacted by the mandate of Congress?
There's a provision of our LUPA in the definition section that says that you must have a leasehold or it's subsection 5 in the definitions that if the claimant has an ownership, leasehold, easement, servitude, or other property interest in the regulated land. So it is limited to situations where you own the land or you've leased the land for religious purposes.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Hasanatka?
May it please the court. the City of Indianapolis' zoning code is valid under our LUPA because the church is a religious use, which is...
Well, why do you want to keep it out of C1? I don't understand. All these other things, you know, auditoriums, community, senior citizens center, daycare, all this stuff. Why not a storefront church? What are they...
Your Honor, an assembly of any sort, be it a church who's assembling for religious purposes or a furniture design group who assembles to talk about furniture design, whatever the assembly is permitted in a C1 under its a permitted use number 6, membership organization.
A church and an assembly hall.
It goes to the use, not the content. Not the content of what's happening there. And under the definition of religious use, religious use is permitted to have accessory uses as of right, which the ordinance.
I'm asking you that. I'm asking you, what is the practical problem that the city would encounter? If this religious assembly were allowed to locate there?
Well, Your Honor, if I may, if it's this religious assembly, they have stipulated that they are a religious use which has accessory uses. They could tell us that, look...
What does that mean, accessory?
Could they waive it? Mm-hmm. I mean, could they say we're not going to have a 500-car parking lot, we're not going to have a rectory? I mean... Could they do that?
Yes, certainly.
And then they could exist if the collateral uses that the city finds troublesome, they could assemble?
Yes, certainly.
So you're looking for them to... you would allow them to assemble, but they must comport with certain restrictions. Is that the city's position?
No, not exactly, Your Honor. If they are merely an assembly... without regard to what they're talking about, the zoning ordinance doesn't care what kind of assembly it is. But if they are merely an assembly and they say, we're not going to have these accessory uses, we're not going to have a school, no one's going to live here, we're not going to run a soup kitchen, we're not going to have a homeless shelter. If they are nothing more than an assembly, then there's no reason for the city to even get involved. They don't need to get a variance. They don't need to do any of that. They just need to tell us that, hey, look, we're an assembly. This is, of course, before the court.
So now tell me, what is the problem you're going to encounter? You have other assemblies here, right? You have assembly halls and accessory uses. So if it were a non-religious assembly, you know, then it would be fine. So what is it that it's being religious ads?
Your Honor, there's the distinction.
Assembly of, you know, United Atheists of Indiana, probably just 30 or 50 people in all of Indiana, right? So would that be okay because not a religious?
It would be okay if it's just an assembly, which based on the facts that Your Honor has just given me, it sounds like that's what it is. If this United...
So then atheists would have the right to assemble, but not... I mean, I'm having the same trouble Judge Posner is. I can't understand what the difference is.
Sure, Your Honor, it's...
And what impact it has, you know, because are there, for example, are there liquor stores there in the C1 that they want to locate in?
In the C1 that they want to locate in, the record actually does not reflect whether anyone has a liquor license, not just liquor stores or adult bookstores. But
you spend a lot of time talking about that, so that seems to me to be irrelevant. It's not in there. Nobody's made a request to get in there. I still can't understand what the difference is.
Well, and this is one C1 district in the city of Indianapolis. There are many C1 districts throughout the city of Indianapolis, and this case is before the court on a motion for preliminary injunction. The record is very thin. When the case would continue for summary judgment purposes or trial purposes, we would, of course, have more information about whether there are liquor licenses, not just liquor stores, but liquor licenses in other areas.
I don't know what that would do for you, actually, because I don't think you can play this game where the state has one law and the city has another law and the city says, well, what can we do? We're bound by the state. I mean, from a federal standpoint, the city and the state are one thing. But again, I mean, following up on what Judge Williams was saying, what on earth is the practical difference between the Assembly of Atheists and the this religious assembly?
There is no difference between an assembly and an assembly. The difference comes between an assembly and a use that, as of right, allows accessory uses like a school or a soup kitchen or a homeless shelter, which a religious use.
So, what's the difference between a school, a homeless shelter, etc., and this kind of church? What's the difference there?
Between the church and a homeless shelter, certainly, if a homeless shelter can be part of a church that has. That is a religious use, an accessory use. The religious
Look,
use.
You've lost me. Mm-hmm. Describe what is the use most like a storefront church that is permitted in the C1 district?
There is no use similar to.
It's a long list. What's an assembly hall, for goodness sake?
An assembly
community
hall.
Community center. What is the difference between a community center and a church?
Well, and when Your Honor says church, I'm taking that to mean under the definition of religious use within the zoning code. But a membership or
that. I mean, look, we know what this store. We know what this. They're there, right? You know what it is, okay? So, what's the difference between what they're doing in their building, mm-hmm. and what a community center would be like, a senior citizen center, an assembly hall dedicated to atheism? What's the difference?
Well, actually, Your Honor, there's no evidence in the record that shows what this church is doing on their property. We know that they
have satanic orgies. I mean, what are you realistic about it?
Well, it's with respect
to... What do you think they might be doing which would differentiate them from a community center?
Having a rectory on site where someone could live there. Nobody could live at a community center. Having a shelter of some sort where people could go and stay overnight. Nobody could live at a community center again.
Well, at a homeless shelter, they'd be staying there. I mean, some homeless shelters, you can come back day after day after day. The same people can come back day after day after day. And people have to live there to supervise those homeless people.
If you have a daycare center for handicapped people, you're going to have someone sleeping there. You're going to have staff sleeping there.
Well, for a daycare center for the day, perhaps not. But again, the record is not clear as to what they're...
Is your concern that unique stresses will be placed on city services that does not necessarily follow with the location of these other permitted uses?
No, Your Honor.
I mean, apart from the economics aspects of this case, if there are any, is that the city's concern that it opens the door to increase police protection? Or I mean, what is there some policy-driven aspect to this that we're not discussing?
Your Honor, as far as I know, no. There's no evidence in the record that there are these other concerns, but rather the concern is for the efficient regulation of land use, for using the C1 as a buffer zone and office-type uses, which is
so
what
So this isn't somehow in derogation because it would take up space that might otherwise... this wouldn't be a good buffer or an adequate buffer? Is that the policy concern?
With respect to a religious use and their accessory uses, yes, that's right.
Why do you care? This is a very miscellaneous collection of activities here. Optometrists, athletic clubs. Well, they can just have offices, so we'll skip. Funeral home, right? Big downer. No one likes to be near a funeral home, right? Radio station studios, schools for correspondence schools. How does the church spoil this beautiful collection of high prestige land uses?
Your Honor, it's because the accessory uses that a religious use is allowed to have, there are the ordinance gives some examples of accessory uses, but it says they are not limited to educational, instructional, social, or residential accessory uses. They can have any number of accessory uses, and by applying for a variance, they can come before the BZA and say, look, this is exactly what we're going to do, and we fit it within the C1, and we meet the Indiana State statutory requirements for a variance. The legislative history of our LUPA gives its purpose, and that's...
It's so ludicrous. Though. What is it? So the funeral home is going to have a cafeteria, a drugstore, right? Sell optical goods. Is that what you were? Restaurant? Have a restaurant?
It could, as long as they're incidental to that use.
Okay, so funeral home. All these other things can have all these accessory uses, right?
Those particular ones, yes.
Civic clubs, planetariums, all this stuff. They can have the cafeterias, the drugstores, the florists, the newsstands. So why can't a church? What's the difference?
Well, a church that's assembling, sure, it could have those uses.
So what would it? So suppose this church is successful. They grow. Now they have a cafeteria. Now they have a florist, a drugstore. So what? Why would that spoil C1?
As long as those uses were directly related to and in the same building, incidental to the primary use, that would be okay.
That's why I'm just having trouble, especially like this C1 permits membership organizations. So you could have Harley-Davidson Motorcycle Club there, right? And they could come in and they could ask, they could say, look, you know, we also want to have a place for people to rest during the night, and so we want to come in for a variance, and you know, we want to have some sleeping rooms there, and they could get that.
No.
Or you could reject it, right? The city could reject it.
Yeah.
Same is true with the church. The church could say, we want to assemble, here's our church, you know, we'd like to build a rectory where someone can live. They can come try to get the variance. You would say no, potentially, because if you're saying, you know, you don't want people sleeping there overnight, what's the difference between the Harley Davidson crowd that's a membership organization and a church? They just celebrate religious things, and the Harley, they honor the Harley motorcycle.
Sure, and with respect to that example, they would be limited to offices only, as an automobile owners association or club.
Offices, but they could assemble. They could have an office, and then they could have gathering space in that office, right?
Under the ordinance, no, they couldn't.
But a church couldn't have an office.
An office use is permitted in C1, under subsection 8, office use, any type is permitted. Again, the zoning ordinance regulates the use. It doesn't regulate the content. Our LUPA, the purpose of it is to...
I understand. Where could a church have an office? What's the section?
Under subsection 8. Office use, any type.
Business, financial, governmental, professional, social services. Where do churches fit? Are they a business?
Your Honor, it says office use, any type, including, which indicates that this is not an exhaustive list.
But I want to get back. Since C1 permits auditoriums and assembly halls, I still don't understand why you can't, the Harley-Davidson people couldn't have an assembly hall where they gathered. And they could have their office, right? Under this C1, they'd be permitted. Auditoriums or assembly halls are permitted.
Well, auditorium and assembly halls are not defined, but if you can think of, maybe the Chicago Theater or Clues Hall in Indianapolis, it's a place people can come and rent out and have a play or have something like that.
McCormick Place. Okay, so now why is that, and why is it that a church is a more obnoxious presence in a C1 district than a modest McCormick Place?
It has to do with the accessory uses, again, and I keep going back to this. Our LUPA's point is...
I don't understand you. McCormick Place would have all these accessories, right?
Your Honor, I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with
Forest, all this, right?
Familiar with McCormick.
Well, I know, but you know, a big assembly place, an auditorium, that's that kind of, you know, convention center. You can have a convention center in C1, right?
I believe.
Well, that would have all the accessory services. So if you're going to have a convention center, why don't you want to have a church?
The difference
What's the difference?
The difference is in a C1, the accessory uses that are permitted are these that are listed. A religious use is permitted any sort of accessory use.
Why do you say that? Look, you can redraft this and just add, you know, religion or religious assembly or something. You don't have to. There's nothing that says you have to permit the church to do anything, right?
That's right, but that's a good the point about the ordinance is it doesn't say membership organization except churches. Our LUPA requires equal treatment for religious assemblies and
non-religious
assemblies.
You're not giving the church equal treatment with this convention center. You're not doing that. You don't seem to understand. That's the critical question. There's no difference from the city's standpoint between the convention center and the church. Now, you can have state laws, ancillary ordinance, and so on, which say, well, if we permit a church, you know, we have to permit, you know, satanic orgies or something like that. Well, you don't have to permit that. You don't have to permit the church to build a spire that's 6 miles high, right?
No.
You can place all sorts of restrictions on churches as you can on convention centers.
That's right, Your Honor. But
so if the churches were subject to every other restriction in this, and they were just listed, auditorium, assembly hall, religious assembly, but it was subject to all these restrictions, you know, then how could you possibly justify the ban?
It goes back to the definition of religious use in the zoning code.
That's your definition. You can change it. You can change it so that churches don't get additional privileges. See, what you're saying is your religious use provision gives churches some extra rights, which you don't want them to exercise in C1, which is fine. You can limit them to the same rights that the convention centers and all these other things have.
Well,
what you can't do is point to one ordinance or one state law to justify discrimination in another.
Well, that's exactly right, Your Honor. If a group, no matter what their content of their discussion is, be it religious or, again, Harley-Davidson's, whatever, if they fit into the C1, then they are welcome to be there.
You're completely missing the point. You seem to think that your religious uses definition is something sacrosanct, and that if any church were permitted in C1, it would carry with it all the privileges of another ordinance which defines religious uses. That's wrong. All you have to do is rewrite your ordinance so that if a church wants to be in C1, it doesn't carry with it all the privileges of a religious use, but it's subject to restrictions in C1.
Yes, Your Honor, that's...
Okay, thank you, Ms. Asanadka. Langdon, do you have anything?
Mr. Langdon, you just heard Judge Posner propose a rewrite. Would you be comfortable with that approach by the city, stripping the presumed ancillary rights that religious assembly might bring to the table by virtue of, let's say, the state ordinance or whatever?
Your Honor, the only thing that we would be comfortable with is for the city to treat religious assemblies equally with non-religious assemblies.
Well, my question is, if they took the approach that Judge Posner has advanced in his dialogue with your sister colleague, Would you find that violating the federal statute, in violation of the federal statute?
If I understand correctly, that would be to strip the right of the churches to have accessory uses.
No, it would be whatever say a convention center, senior citizen center could do with accessory uses, the church could do, mm-hmm. but it couldn't do more. It couldn't, if there are any other privileges, it might be granted elsewhere in the ordinance. In other words, as Judge Fong was saying, do you want to have just what the other C1s have, or do you want to have more?
Mm-hmm. Your Honor,
is there anything you want to do that would not fit the restrictions in here?
Not at all, Your Honor. Again, just simply treat religious assemblies the same way we treat non-religious assemblies.
Yeah, but the issue is, does a religious assembly bring with it, at the outset, Mr. Langdon, something that other assemblies do not? That's the global question.
Sure. No, and I think the city is making a big issue about this accessory use business. And if you look at their code, they allow all of these other non-religious assemblies to have the same kinds of accessory uses that churches are permitted to have.
Their religious uses definition, which I haven't seen, does that allow churches to do things that ordinary land users can't do?
No, it doesn't, Your Honor. The definition of religious use is defined as the primary use is for religious worship or divine worship, and then it says that they can have reasonably related and subordinate accessory uses, and then they go on to include a number of non-exhaustive things such as education, social gatherings, administrative functions, and so forth. If you then step over and look into the non-religious uses, the assembly halls, the auditorium, and so on and so forth, they're specifically identified in the C1 zoning district section, accessory uses and structures, subordinate, appropriate, and incidental to the above permitted primary uses. In other words, they're synonymous. It's exactly the same. And the city makes this big deal about how, well, a church, a religious use, could have a rectory. Well, in this particular case, the church, their lease with the property owner says they can't use it as a residence, so it wouldn't be relevant for this particular case. But I would take the position that if the city were to say that the church can have a residential accessory use, but the Harley Club can't, that they may be running afoul of the Establishment Clause at that point because they're going to treat churches favorably. Thank you, Your Honors. We would ask you to reverse the
Thank you very much to all three. And we'll move on.